Welcome to the Tapping Insiders Club. This is your host, Jessica Ortner. By listening to this audio, you acknowledge that you have read and agree to the disclaimer located at www.tappinginsidersclub.com/disclaimer. We hope this interview gives you new insights on how to be a healthier and a happier you. Enjoy.
Today we're talking to Lindsay Kenny, who is an EFT coach and trainer. Lindsay has over 30 years of experience and is the founder of the National Alliance for Emotional Health. Welcome, Lindsay.
Hi, Jessica. Thanks for having me.
Lindsay, we spoke last week and you sounded really excited and passionate about doing, you know, procrastination as a topic. Why is that?
Well, it just seems like everybody has that problem. It seems like everybody does it, that they put it off. When I tell people what EFT does, it deals with eliminating negative emotions, stress, anxiety, frustration, pain, clutter, procrastination. They go, that's me. I'm procrastinating about something. There's always something that we want to just put off a little bit. But the kind of procrastination that's troublesome is that kind where you just can't get going. You really do put off everything and you get stuck. And it's not as much procrastination. It's just the inability to get rolling, you know, get that momentum going. That's the really troublesome kind.
I think we've all been there at one point in our lives. And why is that? Why do most of us find ourselves in that rut?
Well, that big kind, the kind where it's not just delaying, doing your homework sort of a thing or a project, but the kind where you really get stuck and you just can't seem to get yourself motivated, that's a symptom. All procrastination really is a symptom of something else. And so I work with a client initially saying, how long have you had this? When did it start? When did you start putting things off? And often they can remember a specific time. And like we were dealing with last week with clutter, there's usually an event or a time when they started putting things off. Sometimes they'll say, I've always been this way. But that is a starting place. And what I generally find out is there has usually been a failure in their life at some point. Could be a divorce, or their parents got divorced, or it could have been where they were in front of the room and third grade and the teacher made fun of them about something, or they started a business partnership or project or business and it failed. But something that was a devastating blow to their ego. And what happens from that point on is that people then become reluctant to step out of the comfort zone. So they don't want to start or complete anything because they might fail. So they just don't even get going.
Right.
And it's a pre-prevalent symptom. They don't recognize it as such. They don't realize that that's the reason. But it's because, if I don't do this, if I don't finish it, there's a lot of people that start projects and never finish. That's a form of procrastination.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you actually finish, then people can criticize it and say, well, that didn't come out very well, or what's wrong with this, or this isn't how it's supposed to be, or this isn't the result I expected. That makes the person doing the project or the event very vulnerable and feel judged and to consider themselves a failure. So if they haven't finished, then they can say, well, I'm not done with it yet. You know, it's a great excuse. Take that a step further, and it's what I call my mountain versus molehill theory. That people also, another way of procrastinating is they make everything so hard that it's almost impossible to win, to complete something. Or let me go back to the mountain molehill. They make things hard in their life subconsciously so that if they accomplish something, if they climb this big giant mountain that was just so hard, then, and they make it, people say, wow, you finished getting your PhD while raising 3 kids, holding down 2 jobs and spinning a knife on your nose. How, you're amazing. It's like, yeah, isn't that something? Except most people never quite complete that. It's just they set things up to be so hard and they experience life as being so hard. Because if they don't make it, then people say, well, geez, it's not your fault. You have so much on your plate. You're trying to get your PhD, raise 3 kids, hold down 2 jobs, spend a knife on your nose. How, you know, gosh, at least you tried. In other words, it gives them a great excuse if they make things really hard or they don't complete things. And conversely, if people make things easy and complete everything and make it look easy, like the molehill side of the mountain, the other one is the big mountain peak, they're trying to climb the impossible task. The other is the molehill part, mm-hmm. where they make everything easy. They just have a task, they complete it, it's no big deal. People say, gee, that, you finished that, you completed that, big deal. A monkey could have done that. And if you fail at it, they say, oh my gosh, a monkey could have done that.
It's so true.
So it's a lose-lose. So people go through life making things so much harder than they need to be because it gives them a great excuse. It keeps them from even starting a project or it's just a kind of a buffer for failure. So it's what I call playing the game of life to not lose instead of playing to win.
Right. And so do you find that with procrastination, when people are procrastinating, that's what they're doing inside their own head? They're making everything seem so big that they don't want to do it?
Yeah, that they don't even get started. They come up with all these excuses. I don't know where to start. I don't even know what to do. They spend 30 minutes looking for a special pen or getting their office, their desk organized, or they'll say, as soon as I go to Staples and buy all these supplies, or, you know, they just put it off because as long as they're putting off the pain of failure, really, we're usually dealing with, the bottom line of all this is we're usually dealing with a fear of failure.
And you mentioned before also fear of judging. I mean, that's where it comes from.
Right. There's that fear. Yeah. Just because if they fail, they're going to be judged. There's multiple fears, actually, and we usually bundle them together and deal with them at once. Fear of failure is probably the biggest one, but right behind that is the fear of success.
Right.
And because if they succeed, what if then they become a target? You know, people expect more of them, or people will go, oh, aren't they, don't they think they're Lottie Duff or getting that PhD or, you know, completing that big assignment. Or that's their fear, that people might judge them, expect more of them. And then there's the fear of rejection, fear of being judged, fear of loss, and other fears that are tied into it. But those are usually the reasons behind procrastination is fear.
Mm-hmm. And you said before that sometimes people procrastinate because they say, well, I don't know where to start.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. You know, I don't like my job, but I don't know what else I want to do. Now, sometimes they truly, because they're in that state, they really don't know what the next step is.
Well, they do, but they are so blocked by the fear that they allow it to stop them.
Mm.
So we tap on the fear and let go of the fear. Then we tap on positive things. Even though I'm not sure where to start, deep inside I do know where to start, and I want to allow that to come through me. I want clarity. I want conviction and commitment to finish this project. I want to make this easy, and I'm kind of making this summary a little easier than it often is. But I developed actually a process called the ultimate truth statement that helps people go toward reaching or accomplishing something or a goal, where they write out the positive of what they want. So let's say they want to do everything on a timely basis. You know, that's the opposite of procrastinating. So people will say, I want to stop procrastinating, but that's a negative statement. It's like saying, I want to lose weight, as opposed to I want to be healthy and energetic and weigh X amount. So I have them state the procrastination statement in a positive way, a very simple way in the beginning. I want to keep my commitment to myself and others and do everything on a timely basis or ahead of time, something along that lines. I say, now, if that were true, how would your life be different? People say, oh, my gosh, it would be so much simpler. I think I would have clarity and more focus. I could get a lot more done and feel like just this burden off of my back, and I would feel just really light. And then I say, and what are some of the emotions, too, additionally around that? And as well, I'd have more confidence, more clarity, more assurance about myself, more higher self-esteem, others would respect me, I'd be happy, more peace of mind, joy in my life, and a lot of positive things. And so now they're going toward that positive statement. We put all of that together, make a really powerful contract with themselves that I call the ultimate truth statement, where we say I'd have more confidence, clarity, conviction, and peace in my life because I do, I do have more confidence, clarity, conviction because I do things on time and I keep myself with, keep commitments with myself and others. And we add in the other things. I get more done. I accomplish a lot more things. I have more energy. Life is easier. I feel terrific because I keep commitments with myself and do things on a timely basis. And mm-hmm. I go, now how does that sound saying that? And they go, wow, that's great. And I say, now what does it take for you to own that statement? If that's a 10 and 0 is what a crock of hooey, mm-hmm. where are you on the scale? If that's the ideal, the ultimate statement, where are you? And a lot of people say, oh, I'm a 2. It just scares me to death to think of that. And that's where we get into what's the obstacle that's in the way of you keeping commitments and doing things on time? And
like the downside to it?
Yes. It's like, what's in the way then? Why don't you just do that? Because if we could just make a conscious choice to just lose weight, do things on time, clean up clutter, fix our relationships, there wouldn't be a need for anything like EFT or therapists.
Right.
We can't just snap our fingers because we are programmed in a certain way. We learn lessons in life and we get stuck in things, and that's why EFT is so valuable because it helps unstick us and reprogram our mind. Mm-hmm. So by identifying then what's in the way, and like I said, it's usually fear, but another second place runner is limiting beliefs. I can't do it. I don't know how. I don't have the education. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not experienced enough. I don't know where to start. Those are all limiting beliefs. And even under those, sometimes it's fear. So whichever it is, the fears or the beliefs, we tap those away. Give them a number of 1 to 10, with 10 being strong, a strong belief or a strong fear, and tap those away. Even though I have this fear that if I complete this project, people are going to judge me. Or if I do things on time, I'm going to be a target, or I'm going to be, or I might fail again, and that really hurt, or I'll lose money, or you know, whatever is behind that fear. And when we get into it, we often find, you know, that time when you know they were judged, or their dad or mom said something, you're never going to amount to anything, or so you have to go back sometimes and clear up that old issue. The reason why that fear is so strong today, sometimes people don't know. They say, no, it's not anything old. It's just right now. I can see what will happen if I try this and it fails. And so I just get terrified at even starting. We tap on that, get rid of that terror and that fear or those beliefs. And when that's down to a 0, we go back to that ultimate truth statement and say, now back on the scale of 10 to 1 with that statement being the ultimate thing, a 10. Now where are you on the list? And they'll say, I've moved up a little. I'm not as reluctant to get started. Now I'm like a 7 or 8
mm-hmm.
on owning the statement that I do things on a timely basis. And that's a very powerful thing for people to see, that just by getting rid of that fear, it frees them to get closer to their goal of doing things on time.
Where can I find that ultimate truth statement?
On the free stuff page of my website.
Okay.
LKcoaching.com.
Okay. Good. So just to kind of review the process, if I'm sitting here and I'm procrastinating, I think about when it started.
Mm-hmm.
I think about the downside of it. Tap on that, and then I go to the powerful belief. The truth statement?
This is a hard one, I think, for people to do on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they really do kind of follow that outline, the process that I have written, and it makes it look more complex than it is, because I go into detail about each step so people aren't confused. And often people read it and they go, oh, this is just too much. I don't even want, I'm going to put it off to later.
Yeah, I'm going to procrastinate. Right.
The thing I don't want you to do. So that's why it's easier with a practitioner, because they can see the steps and work through it to them. Not very few practitioners use that process, the ultimate truth statement. It's one I developed about 3 years ago that I find really terrific to deal with hard to measure issues or going toward a goal. I mean,
mm-hmm.
hard to measure procrastination. How do you put a number on that? People say, well, it's really bad. But if you just tap on, even though I have this procrastination, I love and accept myself, you're not likely to get results, because that's just a symptom.
Right.
So, more specific about your question, yeah, the steps are finding out when it first started, what's in the way, or going to that starting with that statement. Say, if somebody says to me, I have this really horrible problem about putting things off, or I'm just stuck, I can't get out, I need to find a new job, I just can't get going, or I want to look for a relationship, I don't know how, I'm just stuck. I hear that. That's a procrastination statement, that I'm stuck. Then I start right there with the ultimate truth statement, say, what would the ideal be? And then that helps flush out all that other stuff that we just talked about.
Right.
The fear, the beliefs, and all. You start with what you want, and they say, now, what's in the way of you owning that?
Mm-hmm.
That's when they say, oh, well, I'm afraid of failing or succeeding or rejection or whatever.
This sounds like a great thing to combine with other things. Like we talked before about clutter, doing this. And then tapping on the clutter, right? And just with any goals, because when you were saying before, people say, I feel stuck, and that's a procrastination thing. Well, I think so many people have said that in their life. I feel stuck. It's like such a common statement.
I hear it all the time. It's probably that, and fear and anxiety are the two biggest things that I deal with on a constant basis. And ironically, fear and anxiety are the underlying cause of usually both clutter and procrastination and weight and a lot of other things. I think fear and anxiety are the things that get in the way of us getting what we want in life more than any other obstacles.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when people are feeling stuck, it's frustrating because then you think of all the reasons why they want it. And they don't understand why they don't want it. So it's about kind of investigating, you know, those feelings that you kind of don't talk about.
Right. And you can just ask questions about, like you said, what's the downside? Who would be upset if you had this, or if you did this? What would be the downside if you did things on time? And people can usually come up with something right away. Oh, then people are going to expect more of me. Then I'm going to have to do things, you know, I'll get more projects, and I'll have to do more work, and it's going to be harder, and... you know, as long as they hang out in, oh, I don't know how to do it, then they don't, they have kind of an excuse.
Right. And what do you do when someone comes to you and they have a very strong belief where they don't even call it a belief, they call it a fact. They say, well, I am a woman and the opportunity isn't there for me. Or, you know, something where they really... You know, it's such a strong belief that they've almost made it a fact.
Oh, yeah. It's a belief. It's their reality. They say, no, this isn't, I'm not making this up. This is true. I'm really diagnosed with a terminal illness. That's not in my mind. That's what the doctors say. I'm going to die. And so that belief becomes a reality to them. And there have been cases where people were misdiagnosed and told they were going to die. And in fact, and they started down that slippery slope of, you know, terminal illness, only to find out later that it was a misdiagnosis, but their belief about it was so strong that it actually became true. So you've heard that old saying, argue for your beliefs or your limitations and they become yours, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's along that line. So if somebody comes and says, I want to be in a relationship, but all of the good guys are taken, or all the good women are taken, or men only want one thing, or... You know, whatever their beliefs about it are, and they go, it's not a belief, that's true. I've been single for a long time, and that's what I've noticed, that everybody I like, I want, doesn't want me, or everybody I want is already taken, or, you know, whatever their beliefs are about that, or it's too hard to lose weight, I keep failing. We still just start on letting go of those limiting beliefs, and we simply reprogram the mind.
Mm-hmm.
We start by saying, even though actually what I do is do a reversal. Even though I don't want to let go of this belief, I love and accept myself anyway. This belief serves me, keeps me safe. It keeps me from making a mistake, from putting myself out there, for sticking my neck out and being subject to judgment or ridicule. So I don't want to let it go, and you can't make me.
Mm-hmm.
Except myself anyway.
And even if I think this belief is a fact, it's just the way it is.
It's
right.
It is still a belief, and there are very few. I mean, people can come to me and say, no, this is really it. It's not.
It's amazing how much people fight for it.
Yes, they really do. And I'll say, so what if it weren't true? What would that mean? How would that be? And there's often a scary thing on the scary answer to that. So that's why they argue for it so much. It gives them a great excuse.
That's a great question, too, to get yourself there.
I can think of a ton of examples about it. One that sticks out, because it was one of the first times I heard it, was a doctor, a female doctor, a doctor in her late 70s, this was 7 or 8 years ago, who was in a wheelchair and couldn't walk at all, and she was in a workshop, and I said, are you able to walk? She said, oh no, during a break, we were just doing some group tapping, and during a lunch break, I found her in the kitchen. It was in a senior citizen place. I found her in the kitchen, standing up, looking in cabinets for sugar, cream, or something, out of the wheelchair. I said, oh, my gosh, I'll call her Emma. You're out of the wheelchair. Jesus, it's a miracle. Because we'd been tapping, and she said, oh, and she went back in her chair. And I said, wait a minute. What's going on? She goes, well, I can get out of the chair, but I really can't walk. I just can't. I've been diagnosed. I can't really walk. And I said, but really? She was moving around pretty well in that room. I said, so, Emma, if I gave you a pill right now that you could suddenly be up and out of that chair, would you take it? And she only hesitated about a second and said, no. I said, well, why? And she said, because... She said, this serves me in some way. She said, years ago when I lived in Illinois, I was a physician, the only female doctor in town, and I was kind of a big fish in a small pool, and everybody knew me and respected me, and I loved it. Then I moved out here to Napa, and nobody knew me. My husband had died. I was just this old lady. And then I got in a car accident and hurt my legs. Doctor said I'd never walk again, and put me in a wheelchair, and I believed it, and people were so nice to me and brought me things and cooked for me and brought me food. And now, years later, I can show up at a meeting late. I can leave early. I can sit in the front.
Oh,
I have, I get a lot of attention, a lot of support, and a lot of sympathy. And so I'm just not ready to let it go yet. And so her belief had become her reality. And even when it changed, even when she realized she could walk, she realized there was a payoff. For staying in the chair, and she wasn't ready to give that up yet.
Just like sometimes there's a payoff for procrastinating.
Well, there is the payoff for that is they'd rather be ridiculed by, why don't you have that project done yet? Oh, I just haven't had time. I've been so busy, and then complete it and be judged on it.
Mm-hmm.
I had a guy that had 1,000 household projects that he was doing. I mean, he started naming them off as, wiring sticking out of the walls and a sink half in and a toilet half finished and things around the house. But he started them, but he never finished them. And so we started delving into why he was putting them off. He'd start another one and another one. And, I mean, from gardening to plumbing, electrical. He had an outside job, but he loved being handyman stuff. But in his own house, he didn't finish anything. And the reason was when and if he did finish something, his wife would say, oh, I didn't want that over there. Or this looks terrible. This isn't the way it should be. And so he stopped finishing it because he would get ridiculed and picked on and criticized and judged. And he didn't even realize that. So he just stopped. He would get started, but just wouldn't finish anything. And she ragged him anyway about that. But he could take that because he could say, but I'm not done yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that was his excuse. And other people just say, well, I can't get started. I don't have the time, or I don't know what to do. Because that is better. That's a less painful thing for them than to have somebody say, well, you worthless piece of crap. This is terrible. What an awful job you did. Rejection is the worst. The fear of rejection is one of the worst fears,
mm-hmm.
because it just hurts. Rejection is a very painful emotion, and so people will do just about anything to avoid it.
Right. Do you think we could do some tapping to wrap up the interview and kind of whether you want to do it on rejection or just something that's very common that people start tapping on when they begin tapping on procrastination?
Yes, I that'd be great. And I would suggest that we tap on the negative. If people could come up with a positive statement on their own, what they want, a simple statement about what they want, then how it will change their life and the emotions that they will feel about that. So they come up with this powerful, wonderful, positive statement. Then they look at, what's in the way of me having it? Like I said, it's probably fear. That's where people kind of get stuck. Now, how do I deal with that? But really, it's pretty simple. It could be beliefs or it could be fears. List all the beliefs. Well, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough experience or education or whatever. And you put them all together. and tap on them. Or you can do the same with fear. I'm afraid of failing, being rejected, being criticized, being judged, fear of succeeding. Put all those fears together and tap on them. So would you like to do one of those two things?
Yes, please.
You get to choose which one, Jessica.
Okay, wait, so what positive thing I want, or if I want to do positive or negative?
We're going to do getting rid of either the fear or the limiting beliefs.
Let's get rid of the fear.
Okay. So, do you have a fear you want to work on?
Nothing that's coming to mind.
Well, let's work on what's pretty common then, which is this fear of success, failure, and rejection.
Okay.
Or judgment. Rejection is kind of like judgment. We just group those together. Now, again, right at this point, I'll say, when did that happen for you? When do you remember a time that it was really painful that you failed or that you were judged? And then we often will go back and clear that up. Well, when Dad, you know, I built a go-kart and Dad made fun of it and said it was just awful and I was really proud of it, or I completed an essay and the teacher said it stunk. And there's often one of those things and we go back and clear that up.
Mm-hmm.
Then we come back to their current fear. So both of those are pretty easy to clear up, actually. But what I wanted to emphasize is it's really important to do a reversal first to neutralize the subconscious resistance to that change, to letting go of the fear.
Right.
Because the reason we have fears is to protect us, or that's what our subconscious think. And so the subconscious, which really rules us, doesn't want to let go of the fear. Otherwise, we could just say, oh, that's silly. I'm not going to be afraid of heights or public speaking or rejection anymore. You just can't do that. You have to reprogram your brain, and to do that you need to get rid of the resistance.
Okay.
All right, so let's start with that. Let's assume that the fear is a high number, like an 8 or 9 or 10. So on the karate chop point, you would tap and say, even though I don't want to let go of this of these fears of success or failure.
Even though I don't want to let go of this fear of success.
Or failure.
Or failure.
Or rejection.
Or rejection.
Or being judged.
Or being judged.
I do want to love and accept myself.
I do want to love and accept myself.
Even though I don't want to let go of these fears that hold me back.
Even though I don't want to let go of these fears that hold me back.
Maybe it's not safe to let them go.
Maybe it's not safe to let them go.
Maybe it gives me a great excuse.
Maybe it gives me a great excuse.
Or maybe there's some other reason I don't want to let go of these fears.
Or maybe there's some other reason why I don't want to let go of these fears.
But I still love and accept who I am.
But I still love and accept who I am.
Sort of.
Sort of.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Even though for whatever reason or a lot of reasons.
Even though for a lot of reasons that...
Whatever
reasons.
I don't want to let go of these fears.
I don't want to let go of these fears.
But I do want to love and accept who I am today.
But I do want to love and accept who I am today.
Okay. Then, again, still on the karate chop, but now doing the setup, which is a different wording, even though I have these fears of success and failure.
Even though I have these fears of success and failure.
I still love and accept who I am.
I still love and accept who I am.
Even though these fears keep me from getting some of the things I want in life.
Even though these fears keep me from getting some of the things I want in life.
I procrastinate because I'm afraid of rejection or failure.
I procrastinate because I'm scared of fear of failure.
Success
or failure.
That's okay. I still love and accept who I am.
That's okay. I still love and accept who I am.
And then on the eyebrow point, and we do all the way around, say all of these fears that hold me back.
All of these fears that hold me back.
And outside of the eyes, same thing.
All these fears that hold me back.
And under the eyes.
All these fears that hold me back.
Under the nose.
All these fears that hold me back.
Chin.
All of these fears that hold me back.
Collarbone.
All these fears that hold me back.
Under the arms.
All these fears that hold me back.
Liver point.
All these fears that hold me back.
And for those that don't know where that is, it's under the nipple, about 2-3 inches, and on both sides. And on the wrist point, all these fears that hold me back.
All these fears that hold me back.
And the wrist is where the arm meets the hand, where the bend in the arm and the hand is in, where the crease is. And then the fingers on the top of the head. All of these fears.
All of these fears.
Okay, then back to the eyebrow point. The fear that I'll fail.
The fear that I'll fail.
Outside of the eyes, fear that I'll look foolish.
Fear that I'll look foolish.
Yes, fear that I'll be rejected or judged.
Fear that I'll be rejected or judged.
Under the nose. All of these fears.
All of these fears.
Chin, I want to let go of these fears.
I want to let go of these fears.
Collarbone, no, I don't.
No, I don't.
under the arms. These fears keep me safe.
These fears that keep me safe.
Liver, I'm not stupid.
I'm not stupid.
If I stay stuck, I can't fail.
If I stay stuck, I can't fail.
Top the head, if I don't try, if I don't try or get started, I can't fail.
If I don't try or get started, I can't fail.
So back to the collarbone. So these fears keep me safe.
So these fears keep me safe.
Okay, then I would have somebody take a deep breath and tell me what their number is now. And it's usually come down 2 points. So if we started at 9, it would be at a 7. If it hasn't, then I ask them, well, even if it has, I usually ask what thoughts came up for you while we were tapping. And they'll usually come up with a little scenario. Well, you know, it's reminding me of a time when I such and such happened. Or I was thinking, you know, if I completed this project and I would get a promotion and I'd have to leave town, I don't want to move to Detroit. And that's where the next place I would have to go, or something like that.
Right.
Some little underlying scenario will come up that they remember, and that's a downside of it. So we sometimes will stop and tap on that, or just add that into the phrase.
Right. And is the scenario always something that you can kind of understand why it's connected, or do you sometimes get maybe a memory that has to do with something completely different?
Well, there's... Yes, I can usually see a connection. The client can't always see it. They don't see how that's tied in. I have a client who has a problem with, she had a breast implant and took 8 months to heal. It was a problem with it afterward. I mean, it was just a really sore, really horrible thing. They actually had to reoperate on her 4 different times. And, then that got healed up, and then now all of a sudden at the age of 61, she's still started having her period again with a lot of soreness and things like that. And she said, I don't know why this is happening to me. I just get rid of one thing. And before that, there was another physical issue that she had with a heart problem, and before that, another one. And I said, I don't want to go too much into this because it's kind of convoluted, but it was all about her being molested when she was 12 years old and her mother blaming her for it rather than her stepfather who molested her. Her mother said, well, you were just trying to be too sexy and you came on to him and that sort of stuff, and and she got really sick. And her mother said, well, you deserve it. It's God punishing you for this. Mm. And so all her illnesses were all around in different ways. Kind of sexual issues, her breast, her having her period and some other things, and it was because of that initial, the molestation tied around the blame and the shame that her mother put on her about it. It was not okay to have fun. Each of the times she got sick, something wonderful had just happened in her life with regarding a man. She was dating somebody new or got engaged or, you know, different events that happened, and it was sort of like her body saying, oh, no, this isn't okay because you're a bad little girl. And so she had a physical ailment as a result of it, and I pointed that out to her just the other day and when she brought up something else, and I said, you see the commonality here? And she goes, no, what? I said, these are all gender or sex-related issues, and, you know, you've had this problem. And we had dealt with it before, but there was an aspect that we had not dealt with, and so it's not always obvious is my short answer.
Right.
No, it isn't. Even to me sometimes, until that's why I ask clients, what came up for you? And they'll say some little thing, and I'll say, how do you see that tying in to this other issue? And sometimes they get it right away, sometimes they don't get it at all.
And if they don't get it just because it came up, can they still tap on it if it has...
Yeah.
I mean, do they have to see the connection?
No, you don't. I haven't said, even though I don't see why this is happening, I don't know why I'm procrastinating, I don't know what I'm afraid of, I love and accept myself anyway. And then when it gets to below an 8, which is kind of where we are in this hypothetical tapping, I start changing the wording. This is where you start reprogramming, and I call this the Golden Gate technique, where you start reprogramming the mind, saying, I want to let it go. Part of me wants to let go of this problem, and another part of me wants to hold on to it. You're addressing or giving a voice to both sides of you, because we always have that duality, that split, that part of us that goes, God, I really want to get over this, and a part of us going,
and especially with procrastination, it seems like there's that total.
Absolutely.
That total split is there. So then you're saying next what you do is you actually tap on that split, almost like you're talking from both sides.
You do. You want to do a round on that?
Yeah, let's go for it.
It's on the quiet shot point. So even though there's a part of me still holding on to this fear.
Even though there's a part of me still holding on to this fear.
There's another part of me that's already starting to let go.
There's another part of me that's starting to let go.
And I want that part of me to win.
And I want that part of me to win.
And I love and accept both parts.
And I love and accept both parts.
Okay, then on the eyebrows, I do, let's just, for sake of time, do one round just saying the negative. These remaining fears, you do a whole round on that.
Okay.
I'm boring to just do it. That's all. I do one round from eyebrows to the top of the head saying just the reminder statement, all of these fears. Then the next round is where you vent. And so on the eyebrow point, I want to let go of these fears. Outside of the eyes, no, I don't. Out of the eyes, then people can judge me or reject me. Under the nose, so I don't want to let go of the fears.
Chin,
yes, I do. Collarbone, I want more energy and more clarity. The arms, I want more confidence and focus in my life. Liver, I want to complete things on time and keep my commitment. And on the wrist, to do that, I need to let go of these fears. Top of the head, I give myself permission to let them go. Okay, so that we just did two rounds, one on the negative and then the second one on the positive. And then I come back and reassess and say, where's your number now? And they go, oh, you know, it's dropped now. The fear is only a four or whatever. And we do another round kind of saying the same thing, two more rounds, one just saying the negative, remaining fear. Another round venting a little bit, saying I want to let it go. You want to do that?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so pretend we do the negative round saying remaining fears.
The reason
I do that is we don't know which meridian those fears are stuck in. It could be the eyebrows or under the arms or on the wrist. But if we tap them all, and it only takes a few seconds, then you're going to get the fear meridian.
Okay,
then the next round, venting helps pick up all the shifting aspects, all the different parts of it. So on the eyebrows, this fear of getting, remaining fear of being rejected. Outside of the eyes, remaining fear of being judged. The remaining fear of failing again. Under the nose, all of these fears that hold me back.
Ken,
I really want to let them go. Collarbone, I want to be fearless. Under the arms, I long to have the freedom of having everything done on time. Liver, and I want the praise and acknowledgement for completing tasks. And to do that, I want to let go of these fears. Top of the head. So I give myself complete permission to let them go. And I often do a third round on at this state when it's down to three or four on the eyebrows. Saying, I want to be fearless. I want to be excited about completing tasks. I want to have the freedom of knowing that things are completed. Under the nose, I want to experience a true win for a change. And it's about time I acknowledge myself. I have everything it takes to complete this project. Other than the arm, I do have the experience, the education, and the wisdom. Liver, I allow myself to complete this. And I allow myself to let go of all the fear surrounding it. Top of the head, I want to be confident, strong, and fearless. Okay, good. How does it sound to you feel just to say those things?
It feels good.
Okay, good. I love doing the positive stuff as it gets to a lower number.
It does. And you have to do that when it gets to a lower number, right? Because once it's high, it just doesn't feel...
Bingo. That's
right.
Exactly right. If you start off by saying, even though I have these fears that terrify me and keep me stuck... I choose to be fearless and confident. Your body's going to go, what? So you're balancing and arguing both sides as it works its way down, you know, the slope, so to speak, so it's numbers. It's one of the reasons we ask people what their numbers are, but, so we know the appropriate thing to say at that point.
Right.
Somebody came into me and they said, oh my gosh, on the way here I was just traumatized and held up by gun in a parking lot, and they stole my car, and my baby's in the car, and I don't know what to do. My gosh, I'm just having a fit. I can't tap on them and say, even though I've been traumatized and robbed, I choose to feel good about it and forgive them and go on with my life. They can have my baby. It's just ridiculous to do it at that point, and that's an exaggeration. But on the on those old issues, we've held on to them for a long time. They've become our identity and defined who we are in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so that subconscious is a huge investment in feeling that way and some payoff. So we have to kind of, it's sort of gently easing it away. It's a little bit like a mountain stream that's flowing freely down the hill in a mountain, and a big boulder avalanche happens, and all these big boulders roll down into the stream, blocking the flow of the water, just the same way that a meridian is kinked or disrupted, that it blocks the flow of our energy. And instead of just unkinking it quickly, it's just almost impossible to do that.
Right.
You're, back to the stream metaphor, you're removing those boulders one at a time. You have five or six big boulders in that stream, and you're nudging them out one at a time, and the water starts flowing more freely until all the boulders are gone, and then you have a completely unblocked stream. And it's the same kind of thing with your energy system. We're moving those disruptions or boulders out of the stream a little bit at a time while you're really reprogramming the subconscious mind. And so there's less resistance at the lower end. So it's sort of like when you're hypnotized and you're open to suggestions from the hypnotherapist saying you feel peaceful and calm, and
mm-hmm.
or, you know, the old kind of hypnotherapist that used to do tricks with it and have people act like chickens. It's, you know, you're really reprogramming the subconscious. The difference with EFT is that it's a permanent change as opposed to just, you know, putting somebody in a hypnotic state. You really are reprogramming the mind.
And what I really enjoy about the interviews with you is I feel like you really, after just listening to what you said, there really is a pattern to it. Like I feel like the listeners are going to feel really comfortable with knowing how to start and how to progress.
Okay, good. Let's finish up. I want to give them a great ending too then.
Okay, perfect.
All right, so back on the setup point, even though when the number is at a 3 or below.
Okay.
So even though there's still a small part of me holding on to some fears.
Even though there's still a small part of me holding on to some fears.
There's a bigger, more powerful part of me.
There's a bigger, more powerful part of me.
That's already let go.
That's already let go.
And I choose to let that part of me completely dominate.
And I choose to let that part of me completely dominate.
I choose to let that part of me push away all of the remaining fears.
I choose to let that part of me push away all of the remaining fears.
I allow myself to be fearless.
I allow myself to be fearless.
And to be comfortable being fearless.
And to be comfortable with being fearless.
And I love and accept myself for that choice.
And I love and accept myself for that choice.
Okay, good. Now, on the eyebrows, we do one round of just the negative.
Okay.
Remaining, all of these remaining fears that have been holding me back.
All these remaining fears that have been holding me back.
Let's just shorten it to the all of these remaining fears.
Okay, all of these remaining fears.
None of the eyes remaining
all of
fears.
These No, remaining fears. remaining fears.
Yes.
Remaining fears.
Elbow.
Remaining fears.
Under the arm.
Remaining fears.
Liver.
Remaining fears.
Wrist.
Remaining fears.
Top of the head.
Remaining fears.
And on the second round, we do positive statements. So eyebrows, I choose to eliminate these fears.
I choose to eliminate these fears.
Outside of the eyes, I choose to be fearless.
I choose to be fearless.
Under the eyes, I choose to feel confident and certain.
I choose to feel confident and certain.
Under the nose, I choose to get projects done on time.
I choose to get projects done on time.
Chin, I choose to keep my commitments with myself and others.
I choose to keep my commitments with myself and others.
Collarbone, I choose to trust myself.
I choose to trust myself.
Under the arms, I choose to feel comfortable being fearless.
I choose to feel comfortable being fearless.
Liver, I choose to eliminate any shred of remaining fear.
I choose to eliminate any shred of remaining fear.
Wrist, I choose to feel confident and powerful.
I choose to feel confident and powerful.
Top of the head, I choose to complete projects on time and with competence.
I choose to complete projects on time and with competence.
Okay, then eyebrows, now you rotate, or you alternate the negative and the positive. So
okay.
On the eyebrows, remaining any remaining fears.
Any remaining fears.
Outside of the eyes, I choose to abolish them.
I choose to abolish them.
Outside of the eyes, any remaining fear of failure, rejection, or being judged.
Any remaining fear of failure, rejection, or being judged.
Under the nose, I choose to annihilate those fears.
I choose to annihilate those fears.
Chin, any remaining thing that's holding me back from getting things done.
Any remaining thing that's holding me back from getting things done.
Collarbone, I choose to let it go completely.
I choose to let it go completely.
Under the arms, any remaining fears.
Any remaining fears.
Liver, I choose to eliminate them.
I choose to eliminate them.
Any remaining fears or obstacles in my way.
Any remaining fears or obstacles in my way.
Top of the head, I choose to eliminate them.
I choose to eliminate them.
I do a fourth round that I call empowering EFT that is just positive statements about the subject that we're dealing with.
And this is when it's like a two and a one?
No, this is when it's at a zero.
Zero, okay.
Now, I could do it at a one, but I usually, if it's at a one, I usually do the gamut point, rolling the eyes and the humming on the back of the hand. But usually a choice statement will go from a three to a zero, or a 3 to a 1, or
mm-hmm.
You know, 0.5, and then we do one more round just to kind of choosing to let it go. And then when I'm pretty sure people are at a 0 or less than a 1, then we do this fourth round of just positive, empowering statements. So, and I often will pull the words then out of that ultimate truth statement
right.
to put in here. So let's just, you know, we didn't technically make one, but we'll just pull some things out that would be true about that. So on the eyebrows, I choose to do everything on time.
I choose to do everything on time.
Outside of the eyes, I choose to feel comfortable keeping my commitment.
I choose to feel comfortable keeping my commitment.
Under the eyes, I have higher self-esteem because I keep commitments.
I have higher self-esteem because I keep commitments.
Under the nose, my life is easier and flows smoother keeping commitments.
My life is easier and flows smoother keeping commitments.
And I find it easy to do things ahead of time or on time.
I find it easy to do things ahead of time or on time.
Collarbone, I choose to make everything easy.
I choose to make everything easy.
Under the arms, I choose to be confident, powerful, and certain.
I choose to be confident, powerful, and certain.
Liver, I choose to trust myself.
I choose to trust myself.
Wrist, I choose to make this easy.
I choose to make this easy.
Top of the head, I'm a powerful, committed, on-time person.
I'm a powerful, committed, on-time person.
Okay. Something like that.
Yeah.
See, I don't know what to say. It's I don't know from point to point what I'm going to say.
Right.
I really don't. I just let it flow. Gary says, let it just flow through you. And if you don't stop and think about it, it usually does. Sometimes my grammar's off and, you know, or the syntax isn't quite right.
Right.
But the point is you're not overthinking it and analyzing it. On that last one, the point is you want to just instill some really positive things that make you feel good the way that you really want to feel, and your body shifts to that as opposed to, oh, gosh, I can't do it. I don't know how. I'm stuck. I can't get started.
Mm-hmm.
As long as people focus on that and those phrases, it keeps them stuck.
Right.
As opposed to focusing on I do things on time, on ahead of time, I do them well, I'm comfortable doing them well, and I'm proud of myself, and you focus on that and tap on it, and it feels so much better going toward a positive goal than just focusing on where you are and how you're stuck.
Right, and even it's so nice to, when you get to the zero of the intensity of the negative beliefs, it's nice just to not end with like the numb, yeah, it doesn't affect me anymore, but to really feel empowered.
That's right. And so instead of being at zero and then say, do you have any fear left or any negative beliefs left or limiting beliefs or what anger or whatever the issue is, instead of just ending with a zero, I always take it to the next level on the opposite of whatever they were just feeling. So if it was fear, then now they're fearless and confident. If they were afraid of public speaking, instead of just having that fear go away, then we instill, I'm a competent public speaker, I am articulate and certain, I see everybody in the room, I'm connected to my audience, I speak with clarity and certainty, all of those things. And
right.
I focus only on that before they get up and do a speech or presentation. The same thing with in the procrastination realm. If it's a project or something that they need to do, I have them focus on seeing themselves completing it in a competent way, having it be an excellent job, people praising them feeling good about it, and having it be easy. Because with procrastination, one of the big things is we make everything hard.
Right.
Playing to not lose instead of playing to win. And so if we choose to make it easy, it's sort of like, oh, you mean I could make this easy?
Yeah.
And you really can. I tell, I've been in this, stuck in this rut myself with making everything hard. And sometimes you say, oh, you got to do this. I say, oh, God, one more thing. Oh, God, I'll never get that done. I've got all this stuff to do. I stop myself saying that all the time. And then actually it's when I watched The Secret about 2 years ago. I know about the law of attraction, but this just really reminded me that when you focus on negative things, you continue to get
right.
So I made this little short phrases, two little phrases for myself that just completely made everything so different. It was, I have more than enough time to complete everything, and I choose to make everything easy.
Oh, I think everyone should write those down.
It's just the simplest thing. And
yeah.
When I said it, I just felt like the weight of the world rolled off of me. So now when I get one more thing, and it happens all the time, I have a humongous obligation of things to do and all this big bliss. But I look at it, and instead of going, oh, God, I'm never going to get that done, which we tend to do, it becomes a habit with us people, I say, oh, this is going to be so easy, and I have more than enough time.
Right.
And it does work out that way. That's a belief in the positive that comes to reality, that comes to fruition and becomes reality.
Well, Lindsay, thank you for having the time to do this interview.
Yeah, I've got a lot to do, Jessica. I have to go.
All right. Well, everyone, this is Jessica with TryOnEverything.com, and we truly hope you got some new insights on how you could use EFT to be a happier and healthier you. And Lindsay, real quick, can you just tell them your website?
Yes, lkcoaching.com. L is in Lindsay, K is in Kenny, coaching.com. And thank you very much for having me on your interviews.
You're very welcome.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Again, this is Jessica Ortner for the Tapping Insiders Club. We hope you enjoyed this interview and you visit us again soon.